music icon Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to, God, what a great, first of all, I never listened to the words in that trailer. That's a pretty cool trailer for the book, by the way. It's really a good book. You really should read it. Anyway, I never read it because I can't. And when you read it, you'll see why I can't. It would be too hard for me to read because I went really inside. By the way, congratulations to Alex Flanagan, who was on the show, because they got a record deal. And you know what? We are making a difference. Remember, this was to give acts, and there are now acts that were heard for the first time, and people calling them because we have so many listeners now. And we started, guys, us people with the spirit of the Woodstock Nation. And it's just incredible, right? And tonight's a real, real good night because I really love the guests that we have. McKenna Andrews. This is a mind blower, this one, folks. You're in it. I think you're in tonight. Something's been going on for a while with McKenna. And I'll tell you why. I'm not going to tell you her age or anything. You're about to hear something that's going to be around a long time. You'll be hearing. So I'm going to put up the first song. I asked McKenna. She had three songs recorded, and I asked her, "Would you please go in?" And she went in, and in one day, took songs she was working on and did these great inner house you know, demo acoustic cuts. But anyway, I'm going to put on Time, written by McKenna Andrews, and then we'll have McKenna here. And be prepared to have your mind blown. Everybody, with the spirit, hold the light, and the light is definitely here tonight, Miss McKenna Andrews. Hey, McKenna.
Hey, Artie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's, you know, since you posted on my wall, and I just, it was just, when I first saw your video, I said, oh, my God, you know, because you really got a fan.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor to be talking to one of the guys who made music history, you know, so.
Oh, God. You're reading the book, huh?
Yes.
By the way, you could tell me honestly, is it good? Do you enjoy it?
Yes, I really do. I really do. It has a lot of interesting things and a lot of things that I'm into because I really think I was born in the wrong generation, so.
Well, you know what? You could be the leader of your generation because everybody out there, well, you know, I'll tell you now. McKenna, how old are you?
I am 15 years old.
Right. Now, I didn't know that, and when I saw the video, because McKenna's a very beautiful young lady, when I saw the video and when I heard her sing, I would, and then when I found out her age, I was just shocked. You know, I mean, if I was, you know, running Capital still or EMI or Mercury, I mean, she would be signed right now. But she has the whole world ahead, as we all do every day. We still have we only have one day, and we're in today, right, McKenna? And that's where and it's good today, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you wrote Time. When did you, first of all, you're 15. You know, when did you know you had this gift with music? Well, obviously a gift in a lot of areas, because we'll get into your homeschooling, because I want to talk about that. But when did you get into knowing that this is going to be your life, music?
Well, you know, my dad, he let me grow up listening to the good stuff, you know, like Journey and Rush and all those people. And those people, they really influenced me, and I really got started singing and learning how to play guitar when I was 9 years old, and I've been doing it ever since. So,
yeah, when did you start doing shows?
I started doing shows when I moved up to Kingsport, Tennessee, where I'm living now. I was probably 10 or 11 years old when I did my first open mic. So,
well, you know what? When did you write the song Time?
Time is actually one of the newer songs that I've written. I probably wrote it actually 2 months ago. But it was a really cool song to write. I had to dig deep to find some of the emotions put into it, you know. But Time is about this girl who goes through life not really caring what she's doing, you know. And her mom saying, look, you don't have that much time, you know. Life is short, so you need to live it. That's pretty much what I wrote Time out to be.
Right. So then, and now, did we just have this in an order that McKenna didn't pick or I didn't pick? And this is the way Jed Taylor got the songs, and then Jed sends them to Z-Man, and it's a tomfoolery of how we do the show. Actually, we're not even doing it. It's very zen, and you're not even hearing us. But in reality, we are here. I love the song, That's How I Roll. Why did you write that song?
That's How I Roll. I wanted to write a good, sassy, spitfire song, you know, about, I've had a few relationships. I know I'm just 15, but I've had a couple. But, you know, there are some guys out there that, you know, a girl's going to meet and they're going to want you to change and stuff, change to the way that they like you and stuff like that. But, I wrote that song trying to be completely the opposite. You know, the guy's trying to tell the girl to change, and she's like, you know what, you can just leave if you want me to change, so.
Yeah, it's interesting you write that, because I've seen about that, and, you know, I had a wife pass away, and I had two other wives, and I was in a lot of relationships after my wife died.
Yeah.
And, when people go into it, there are some people that want, they meet someone and they feel love for them or something for them, and then they want to change them to be just like them.
Yeah.
You know, instead of accepting them for being what they are. I think that's when true love or true affection really comes, is when people accept what the other person is.
Yeah.
And don't try to, and don't, you know, good criticism, Caroline sometimes will say, Artie, that's wrong. Don't put that on Facebook, or, you know, because I'll check it out, because, you know, you've read my Facebook posts, and I see what's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I roll. So this song is how McKenna and I and all of you that do have the spirit, that's how we roll. So McKenna Andrews, That's How I Roll.
Complaining, whether it's sunshine or raining, just tell me what you want. Always saying that I'm always changing, but for you I don't. Well,
Sal McKenna Rolls. Great song, McKenna. Great performance, by the way. That note that you built on, you know, it was incredibly good.
Thank you so much.
You said something to me, and I was just curious because you brought up the fact that you're right now you're homeschooled, and when did you start being homeschooled?
I started homeschooling my first high school year, so I was a freshman. So it was last year I started it, and you know what? I really liked it. There's nothing really wrong with homeschooling, and I actually get done with all the work that is an equivalent to all the work that I'll be doing in high school in 3 hours. So it gives me a lot more time to focus on music and go play shows and write music. So.
And you took that test, that college aptitude test, and it said that you were prepared to go to college, right, when you were in the eighth grade?
Yes. I took the ACT, I think, my eighth grade year, and I made a high enough score. I'm doing dual enrollment at one of the colleges here, and I'm going to be taking some college credit classes when I'm a sophomore. So.
And with your career, you know, it may take a little longer, but within 3 or 4 years, still doing what you're doing, because, you know, I'm not talking to a little girl, 15-year-old. I'm talking to a woman that has a purpose, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you have that your age, but, you know, you certainly have a talent that really comes with a lot of experience. Your dad must be real cool. Was he at Woodstock?
I don't think he was at Woodstock, but he loves that kind of stuff and loves talking about it. And, I mean, that's his kind of music right there. So.
Yeah, so Daddy's Girl Likes to Dance. What thought came into your mind when you wrote this?
When I wrote this song, I go out a lot of times. I watch other bands play, and sometimes I'm playing, and, you know, people like to get up and have fun and dance. So that's pretty much what I wrote Daddy's Girl Likes to Dance about, is people who just love having fun and getting up and dancing. So.
Right, right. Wow. Anyway, McKenna, where is that video to be found? Is it on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah. Check out the video on YouTube, folks, and be prepared to be shocked. Okay? You know, because she's been doing it a long time, but, you know, I'm glad that there's a lot of people listening, because welcome to the new world. Who knows how McKenna's album, when it finally comes out, how it's really going to go, but I know it's going to be great, you know, and I get those instinctual feelings sometimes, you know. It's like they told me with the Castles, you can't get little kids to number one, and I did. And I threw out Hanky Panky as a joke because it was just sitting there. And but a wild thing that no one wanted. I just get instincts, you know. And but you're so good. I enjoy your music, and that's what counts. And I can't wait to see you perform, and I will. So Daddy's Girl Likes to Dance, huh?
Rhythm and blues. Some only like it if it's new. But all I need is something with a little groove, like a little two-step or do-si-do, old bluegrass or rock and roll. Daddy's little hillbilly baby girl likes to dance. neighbor says Friday's band's playing my favorite tunes. And like that sunshine and good song, it makes my mood. Soon I'll be tapping my toes and taking off my shoes to a little two-step for do-si-do.
She'd like to see Daddy's Little Girl dance, because when you see the video, McHenry is a very beautiful young lady, you know. And as I talked to her, you know, well, you know, a lot of you read my book, and you know, I lost a child, but and she was really, like, you know, she was part of the whole Breakfast Club crowd, and when I lived in Malibu and Zuma Beach, she was very talented, but and she had a great voice. And it was just something with McKenna that just sort of clicked, but it had nothing to do with that. It was just being so surprised, you know, at what I was hearing and the age, because at 15 I was still trying to work out a curveball and busy going to one of the 18 schools. I had the opposite of McKenna. My folks move a lot, so I went to about 16 schools between kindergarten and graduating. Even my senior year, I had to. The longest I was at a school was a year and 4 months. So I was always the new kid in town, you know. Let me ask you something. What do you think about the United States right now, and at your age, and I guess you have friends. I imagine some of your friends are older than you. And what do you all feel about what's going on with America, and what's your hopes?
You know, like you said, I do have friends, but they are a lot older than me. I don't really click with anyone my age, girls in particular. It seems like they'd rather be jealous than, you know, like me for who I am. So, but as far as the United States right now, you know, I don't like war at all, so so that's definitely a problem that I see, but I think that we're trying to do the best that we can, you know.
Do you like the politics that are going on? I think it's all a big game.
Yeah, I do. I do think it is all a big game. I think, you know, people go overboard with it, you know, so...
Yeah, I still find it hard to believe that, you know, whether you like Obama or not, I still find it hard to believe that some idiots are still running around saying that he was born in Kenya, and that he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre, right?
That is, it is really crazy, you know, what people say, just to get attention, you know, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I pull no punches. I pull for him because I look at what the other side is doing, and, you know, I just always seem to vote Democrat. I vote by the person, I just heard stuff in those all those debates among the people trying to get the nomination that Romney got, and the stuff I heard was most of it was lies, and it was like almost childish.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure I could pick out, you know, a group of kids from the Sidwell School where I spoke in Washington, where the Obama kids go, and where Chelsea Clinton went, and like you, and have a lot better debates than these people had.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I guess what we have to do is... It's a saying, let go, let God. And, you know, God is whatever God is to you. You know, I find it's good having a higher power, you know.
Yeah.
It keeps me in place. And you know, even with Woodstock, you know, I did not, it was a message that came through me from wherever those messages come, came to Michael and my wife and I one night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't take the credit for it because, you know, getting the people there, getting it to happen, but just the fact that you know that you have to do something, you know, and it has to be done, and all the donors have different reasons, you know. And one of my big reasons, and I control the advertising, so I snuck it in, was that Woodstock, without really getting political, was also an anti-war statement.
Yes, it was.
Because we were all having friends killed in Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, did you have any friends who had brothers or anybody that was hurt in Afghanistan or Iraq?
No one close. I did have a few friends who were over in duty. My dad, he was actually a Marine growing up, so he never got deployed. But I mean, it is a hard thing to do, you know. And I actually have some friends now who. Who were musicians with me, and they're Marines now. So, I mean, it is definitely a hard thing to go through, knowing that someone you care about is over, you know, fighting for our freedom.
Right, and then you wonder, are they really fighting for our freedom, or is it all about oil?
Yes.
Is it about people, or is it about control of people, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like I told you, you know, I've been to India, and if you saw what was going on there, it's so horrible, and I see the United States heading that way, except India, you know, as far as an economy, is so much better than us, but anyway, I don't want to get too far into this. It's just that I really think that we got to let it go, and we got to keep still letting it go, so still letting go.
That is no fun to pretend, and now I sit and I wonder, tell me, when did this begin? Was it something that I said, or did you find somebody new? Well, you know that I am not one to beg, so there's one thing left to do. And I didn't know what hurt so bad, and times like these could be so sad, but I guess I'm holding on to hope. And since the day you went away, I acted like was okay, but my feelings now are starting to show. I guess it's just my heart still letting go. I heard she went and broke your heart and brought it to an end. A funny thing, it was just a joke, 'cause she was my best friend.
just what it's like to be torn in two, and how it feels to lose the fight and finally face the truth. Well, I didn't know what hurt so bad, and times like these could be so sad, but I guess I'm holding on to hope. And since the day you went away, I acted like it was okay, but my feelings now are starting to show. And it's just my heart still letting go. Ooh, yeah, it's just my heart, it's still letting go.
McKenna Andrews, how are you? You still okay?
Still doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. You know, I gave up. I mean, I'm a Miami Heat fan, and I'm playing Oklahoma City, and it was like a 10-point lead with the Heat going into the halftime. And the halftime hit just when it was time for the show, so I'll find out. I gave up the Heat for you.
I feel so honored.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of the songs that you sang, you know, I could feel the heat in the songs, and that's great, you know, and, you know, it still blows my mind your age and how you progress. So I'm going to drop that now because I think you're ageless, you know, and you're very gifted, and you really, you know, should thank uh-huh. whatever power you thank, because, and your dad, I tell him I say congratulations, he did a great job. I'll tell him when I talk to him.
Yeah.
So, the next song up is, what is it, Z-Man?
It's called Thinking.
Oh, right. I said that because I wasn't thinking. What got you thinking about writing a song called Thinking? Well, no, let me ask you something. Did anything, when you were growing up, did you see something, did you ever see anything that was painful to see in your life?
Well, you know, before we moved up here to Tennessee, we lived in southern Mississippi near the Gulf and close to Louisiana and New Orleans and all that. And we actually went through Hurricane Katrina and stayed through Hurricane Katrina. And just the aftermath afterwards and everything that happened during it, I mean, it was hard to watch, you know. We didn't actually get hit as bad as other people did. I mean, our roof was still good, but, you know, some of our neighbors' roofs were caved in, and people ran out of food. People were holding each other at gunpoint for gas, you know, down the street, so.
Yeah, it's sort of weird when you think of, while that was going on, when you think about all the money we're spending on wars right now.
Yeah.
We really
could have... the crazy thing is, FEMA didn't come, like, straight in to help. The people who were helping mostly were local firefighters and local policemen, you know. So.
Right. Well, that's why, you know, I don't know if people knew what was happening in Wisconsin with the governor, you know, that he wanted to that he really stopped all unions, you know, from being, you know, allowed, basically, in Wisconsin. And, you know, if these governors think that they don't need federal help, there's an example. You know, we should have the National Guard and the Army Building Corps rebuilding immediately. You know, and as a matter of fact, it should have been done already. I mean, I'm in Palm Beach County, and the Everglades are getting destroyed by people building so much on the Everglades.
Yeah.
And Miami's 1 foot. Where I live is 1 foot underwater, and the Everglades what protects us. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so we're like cutting our foot off. So, you know, and yes, these governors certainly do turn to the federal government when they need help like that because they're not prepared. So it'll be nice when hopefully Obama gets everybody home and everybody starts working again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. You know, you're working, and you're lucky because you're at an age and you're with your dad. And there are a lot of people out there that don't have a clue. You know, I guess a lot of kids in high school are thinking, God, my friends that went to college are having trouble getting jobs.
You know? Yeah.
But you were born and you knew what your job was. And your job was to really sing.
Yes.
And put your thoughts out. And that's because you were thinking. Thinking right now, McKenna?
Thinking about you, Artie.
Yeah, I'm thinking about you too. And I'm also thinking about who's listening. And I hope you get it, because if you don't, you don't. I'm still going to, you know, keep my weight where it's supposed to be and try not to smoke these fiendish cigarettes, you know. By the way, except for some exceptions from God, clean and sober is the way, in my opinion. I just want to put that out to everybody. Clean and sober is where it's at, you know. I don't know about what grows in the ground and what the Indians did, you know. And You know, so in other words, I am for legalization of marijuana because we could use the taxes, and it'll put a lot of these gangs out of business. You know, and we would, you know, it's really sad because in the prisons right now in the United States, 80% are non-white, okay, and about 70% of them are in on drug charges because they came from the inner city and that's the only way they had to get by, in gangs and in fighting. So we have to have a country where we don't have that kind of a mix-up because in reality now, Caucasian is the minority in the United States because I think it's 60% of the United States are either Afro-American or Cuban or Mexican, you know, or from other countries. And it's so weird that we just don't accept people and say this is a place for the home of the free and the land of the brave. So hope everybody gets brave and gets out and fights for what they believe in, whatever they believe in. I don't really want to say goodbye. What do you want to talk about? Anything? Anything you want to bring up?
I'll bring up where you can buy my CD at, or some of the songs. They're pretty much on any musical website where you download music, but
right.
Two of the best ones are CD Baby and iTunes.
So. Right. I can't wait till you have your whole album. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm trying to save up my money from all my gigs to get back into the studio. So.
Yeah, well, you're going to get back in the studio. I could feel it, you know, inside me, you know. So whoever knew that you were gonna post that and you'd wind up on the show with me with a couple hundred thousand people, you know, listening to us ramble on, but also in the middle, some great music.
Yeah.
I went a little political, folks, you know. I am a little political. And if you're not, you're crazy. You better start thinking about it because when I just saw the chart today in the United States ranked 24th in education. Finland was number one, and I think South Korea was number two, you know, and we were number 24, uh-huh. and we outsource all this business to these countries, India, Korea, Japan, uh-huh. and they send their kids to the United States because we have the best college system in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that every school's Oxford, but not only Harvard, but all of our colleges are good, and this thing about stopping, you know, people should have a choice if they want to go to high school, you know, I mean, I believe that too, you know, I never had the advantage of, you know, becoming part of a group because I was always a new kid, you know, in town, and
yeah.
If I didn't play baseball, I never would have been accepted, and if I couldn't fight, I never would have been accepted, you know, especially in the Carolinas in the 50s, if you were sort of, if you'd give, I got arrested at 13 for giving my seat in a bus to an elderly black woman who got they stopped and the guy got in touch with the police and my folks had to get me out of jail in Mecklenburg County, you know, just because I gave my seat.
That is a crazy thing to go to jail for.
Yeah, well, you know what? I knew about it because my mother's civil rights activities and, you know, being born Jewish and going to Catholic school and, you know, and being part of the Methodist Youth Fellowship. And for a while I was born again, you know, and I do chant a Buddhist chant. I do meditate and, you know, and it's all just to be true to myself, which means I could be true to others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're certainly true to your school and it's done a great job. And I guess you knew, so I don't even have to ask. Who knew?
My heart breaks, and everything I love starts to shatter. And everything I knew just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Well, you fooled me once, said you'd never leave me, but that
what's new, you know. What's new is, you know what, we started 3 years ago, and I started with the spirit of the Woodstock Nation, and I'm the only person that had the thought, but actually I do own the trademark because my company is called the Spirit of the Woodstock Nation, and it's, it belongs to all of us, and that's why the show is free, and that's why Artists First exists, and it's to help advance people like McKenna. Great talents, I hope I live long enough to hear it for many years. And it's funny because I'm going to close with the song that Bert Sommer wrote for my wife and I when we were dosed at Woodstock just towards the end. And we were in trouble, and he came back and played. And I put it out on my label. And after three albums, the last song I did with him was a hit. And hold the light, everybody. Keep the faith, hold the light, keep the spirit of Woodstock in your heart. Love your fellow man. Love McKenna because she's so lovable, and she gives so much. So give it back, everybody. Give it up, and we're all playing in the same band. Remember that we are.
We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing, finally. We're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning finally. Guitars for you and me.